Psalms chapter 100. Now, the book of Psalms is dead center in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just go and grab you one of those red hardbound books and open up to the middle of the Bible. Actually, Psalm chapter 118 is the actual physical center of the Bible. And I love it. I'll deal with that on another occasion. It's a great message. But Psalm 100 is where we're going to be at today. We are in our series called You Asked For It. And I'm still soliciting topics. If you've got a topic you want to know about, please just send it to me, please. And we'll preach on it. I've been holding this one, of course, knowing it was going to be, when I saw it, I went, okay, we're going to do this the week before Sunday, or for Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I thought it was a really wonderful question. Psalm 100, we're going to read the whole psalm together, please. So if you found Psalm 100, say amen. Amen. All right, I'll read the odds and you'll read the evens. So here we go. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we ask that you would speak as only you can from your word. Help us today, God. If there's one among us who's lost that does not know Christ as their Savior, may they trust him today. And for us, your children, Father, help us to have joy and be thankful. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've had a lot of fun in this series. We've talked about, you know, what does the Bible say about slavery? What does the Bible say about genocide? What does the Bible say about why children grow up and don't serve the Lord? And other issues that have been fun to talk about. And today, I've been, like I said, saving this question. How can I be thankful when I really just don't feel like it? And you think, well, that's terrible. No, it's coming from the heart of a person who's in the midst of a trial. Now, if you've never been in a dark time, when you can't see what God is doing, when heaven seems like brass, like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, and you just, it's like one thing after another is hammering you. Life is hitting you fast, it's hitting you hard, and it's a dark time. My preacher always said you're either going into a trial, or you're in the midst of a trial, or you're just coming out of a trial. So if it's sunny where you are in life right now, hang on. I know you say, well, that's just depressing. No, it sometimes can be difficult to be thankful when things are not going anywhere near the way you think they ought to go. And the person said, how can I do this when I just don't feel like it? Well, not to be harsh and not to be callous, but really our feelings have nothing to do with it. And listen, if you've ever said that to somebody, don't do that. Don't do that. That doesn't help, right? Don't quote it to them. Don't quote Romans 8:28 to them or anything like that. You never say to somebody who's sick, well, God's got this. You're not helping, okay? But the truth is, for you and I, as born-again believers, Faith is our confidence in God. Are we confident that he will do what he says because of his character? That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. We make it so complicated. But your kids, how many of you actually have little children that walk to the refrigerator just to check to see if you're doing your job? No, they'll go to the fridge and go get something to eat knowing you're doing your job. Right? They have faith in you. They have confidence in you. How many times did your kids go, well, here, Ms. Starr, can I look at your checkbook and see how you're doing? You know, I mean, they don't do that, right? Because they have confidence in you. Faith is just our confidence in God. It's not about our feelings. See, faith does not live by explanation. Faith lives by the promises of God. Faith does not live by appearances. It lives by the providences of God. And faith does not live by our circumstances. Faith lives by our praise. See, you cannot understand that God is all you need until you get to a place where God is all you have. Then you'll understand God is all you need. Well, why is it hard for me to be thankful? Well, because you're lacking joy. See, joy and happiness are not the same thing. Break the word down etymologically. Happy means happen. What's happening? Happiness is circumstantial. Joy transcends circumstances because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, you say to yourself, well, I still don't understand what joy is. Well, let me give you the opposite. The opposite of joy is frustration. Now, you know what that is, right? You didn't drive around this county much very long without understanding what frustration is, right? Joy is the fruit of the Spirit that is wonderful. It's a wonderful fruit of the Spirit, but it is the hardest one to bear, to actually manifest, because it is something you have to yield to by faith. It's not something you put on like a suit. It's not claim it, you know, name it and claim it. It's not fake until you make it. It's not a self-fulfilling con. Joy is you yielding to the Holy Spirit because of your confidence in God and His character. It's a strange thing to realize that we're lacking it. Now, the clinical definition of joy is that cheerful, calm delight that we have for God's will to be perfected in all circumstances of our life. We don't have joy when I want my will and not His. That'll rob you of your joy. In John 15:11, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," Jesus' joy, "might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." All the way to the top. That's what God wanted. He wanted you to have His joy. Now, joy is the spontaneous enthusiasm of my spirit when my soul is in fellowship with God. So when I am not in fellowship with God, I don't have joy. I just don't. Are you in fellowship with God right now? Are you and God right with each other? Do you want His will in His time? That's the toughest part for me, is the timing part. Do I want His will in His timing? Or do I want my will right now? These are the things that rob us of joy and make us unable to be thankful. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 5. Now, Ephesians 5 is a familiar portion of Scripture. If you've not checked out our Home Builders class, they deal with a lot of the issues talked about in Ephesians 5, and I think it's a wonderful class. You need to try it out. You need to check it out. There's 5 adult classes during our Bible study times, and there's one that fits you. I'm positive. Just check them out. Look at Ephesians 5, though, but we're going to start in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be controlled, be full of the Spirit. Speaking, that means yielded to, under the control of. Look at verse 19. "Speaking to yourself." Now, this is all one big, gigantic sentence. Your English teacher would be aghast if you tried to do this in high school. Look at this. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How do I do that? "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." This is what it takes to be full with the Spirit, to do this. This is what it takes. Now, God will allow situations in your life to try your faith, to grow your faith, to produce patience, to generate joy from the Holy Ghost. See, what happens is the circumstances wound our outer man, that flesh, so that the inner man can be strengthened by the Spirit. See, the more Spirit-led we are, the more Christ-like we are, and the more Holy Spirit power we experience, the more people we influence for God's kingdom. See, we're supposed to be joy-putter-inners rather than joy-sucker-outers. Right? Y'all going to have holidays this year, and some of you are going to get spending with your family. Yeah, and there's probably one in your family that is a joy sucker outer. Now, if you can't think of that person, it's probably you, but you're supposed to be a joy putter inner to others, because the more submitted you are to the Holy Spirit, the more led of the Spirit you are, the more you're putting, your joy is overflowing into other people's lives. See, thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude. Everybody appreciates gratitude, right? Gentlemen, that's why your wife says, "Do I look good? How do I look? Did you see what I did to the house today when I came home? Oh, yeah, it was beautiful." You didn't see it. See, and we're being joy sucker outers at that moment, okay? But the thing is, everybody likes gratitude. Everybody likes to be appreciated. So does God, by the way. That's why the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory." 2 Corinthians 9 says, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." You know, it must be frustrating for an atheist. I mean, who do they praise when things go well? Well, praise the void. Huh? You know, we even sing songs of gratitude, right? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. What do atheists sing? No one loves the little children, all the children of the world. No one hears you when you cry. No one hears your lullaby. No one cares for the children of the world. What? Evolution, this I know. Charles Darwin told me so. Accidentally alive. If you're weak, you won't survive. Right? What do evolutionists sing? Shout to the void, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to nothing. I'll be here all week, tip your barista. Listen, the thing is, thanks is just an expression of gratitude, isn't it? We want to be appreciated, so does God. That's why it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Now, I can usually give thanks when I miss a calamity, right? Brother Mike, somebody cuts us off or somebody decides they're going to take their part out of our lane and we catch it, or they just miss us and we weren't paying attention. My wife has a tendency to go, when I'm driving. So I don't know if your wives do that. Does anybody else go, oh? And some of the time, she's actually right, because I'll be like, oh, a bird. And she'd be like, oh, you know, somebody stopped in front of me, right? And some of the time, she's actually a real blessing. But the rest of the time, huh? You know, we can give praise when we miss a calamity. Or we can give praise when God brings us a blessing. But however, what, you know, the thing is, guys, there's 23 reasons in the Bible to give praise. I found them this week as I was studying, because we're commanded to give thanks. In Psalm 107, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We are to command. So there's 23 reasons. Some of them are going to apply to you. I mean, you can praise God for the completion of a task. I know my wife loves it when I start something, but she loves it even more when I finish a task. Huh? Can I get an amen from the ladies in the room? Right? We love it. They love it. They love it. And I like being praised. My wife is really good at that. She knows how to work this man. She gets it. You look good in that tool belt, baby. Get on that roof and get it done. Yes, ma'am. You know? Well, she wants something done, and I'll be like, I don't know. She goes, do you need to buy a tool, a new tool to make that work? Baby, you know, if you need a tool, baby, I'm on board. And I'm like, oh. Huh? We all love it. We all love praise. We can praise God for food. We can praise God for his mercy. We can praise God for the gift of Christ, for his word, for wisdom, for strength. Some of this is going to apply to you, right? And on Thanksgiving Day, we'll all kind of enjoy a meal. Maybe we'll go around the table and we'll tell people, everybody, what we're thankful for. We are truly a blessed people living in a blessed land where the majority of this world just wants a handful of rice. We are blessed. But I will tell you that it is difficult from time to time to be thankful. You know, times get tough. Life comes at you fast, hits you hard multiple times. There's deaths. There's illnesses. There's burdens. There's hardships. There's problems. There's disappointments. So the question I received was, why do bad things happen? And how can I be happy? How can I be thankful? How can I be thankful? And I guess the ultimate question, how can I have joy when bad things happen? Well, number one, bad things is a reality of the sin-cursed world you and I live in. This world is corrupted by sin, and therefore it is cursed with sorrow. It's just a natural part of being here in our existence. The Bible says we're all sinners, Romans 3:23, but it also says in Ephesians 2:3, in whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We're all sinners. Part of the problems that we deal with are just the natural repercussions of us existing here. Did you know we all suffer from a terminal illness called mortality? Nobody gets out of this life alive. The death rate's still one per person. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore is one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men for all have sinned. It's interesting, as you read the Bible and you start tracking people's lives, Adam lived to be 930 years old, and then he died. And then his son Seth lived to be 912, and he died. And there's a pattern here. And Enos lived to be 905, and he died. And everyone started, and from that point on, everybody's life starts getting real short, especially after the flood. Because sin The curse of sin ravages our body, makes us grow old. The Bible says in Job 16, and he hath filled me with wrinkles. I got up the other day and I looked in the mirror and went, somebody pasted a roadmap on my face. There's all these lines and dots and looks like, right? Because things that don't hurt anymore aren't working anymore, and they may not fall off, but they quit. They just kind of checked out and retired. Parts of you start to retire, and parts of you just don't want to. The curse of sin ravages our body as it wears out. But did you know the curse of sin also ravages this world we exist in, this we live in? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain. There's floods, there's hurricanes, there's tornadoes, there's earthquakes. Listen, this is not the world. The condition the world's in now is not the condition God created it in. This is not how it was before the flood. You know, one day the lion will lay down with the lamb. That's what Isaiah 11 says. And one day the desert will blossom as a rose. It says in Romans 8:21 that it'll be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We can be thankful that God will one day make this world new. You know, as bad as it gets, this is as close to hell as we get if you're born again. How do I be thankful, preacher? Why do bad things happen, and how can I be thankful? Well, number one, sin is just a natural repercussion of us being here, the curse of it. Number two, sometimes God is correcting us as children. Did you see that in the brochure when you became a born-again believer? Welcome to the family. You're going to get disciplined. Did you not read that in the fine print? That's what it says, that every child of God gets disciplined when we make mistakes. The Bible says in John 1:12, to them that received him gave he them power to become the sons of God. And in Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll go with me there, God will take the initiative to correct us so he can train us and we can take on his glory and be usable. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Well, doesn't God love me? Yes, God loves you just the way you are, but God loves you so much he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto his children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Chastening, that's a whooping. Look at that. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That's a verbal correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Scourgeth is when he wears you out. Every son whom he receiveth. Every son gets this. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, you live like the devil, I don't care what you say you are, and God don't whoop you. The Bible says you're bastards and not sons. You've stolen God's identity. Verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Oh yeah, we had earthly parents. My dad could get a lot done with a size 7.5 cowboy boot. He just had a way of motivating me and my brother with that boot. All right? It says that he chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, speaking of God, verse 10, for our profit. God does this for our good. See, God's correction proves to us that he loves us. It proves to us that we are his children. When we do bad things, listen, when we do things that are outside of God's will, he'll correct us because he loves us. Now, it says here in verse 10 and 11, that he does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. We don't get joy out of being corrected, but grievous. We grieve. It hurts us. Nevertheless, after we've been corrected, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's for our good. Well, why do bad things happen, and how can I be thankful? Well, number one, you know, the world's ravaged by sin and people get sick and things happen. That's the way it is. That's how it is. You can praise God. One day you'll walk on streets of gold with a new body and this world will get revamped by fire and made new. Number two, you can be thankful for the fact that God is correcting us sometimes. And that's why things happen. God allows things to correct. So listen up back there. Listen up. Number three, sometimes God is teaching us to depend on him. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, please. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes God will allow things so we'll learn to depend solely upon him. Do you realize that we are dependent upon God? We're not only fragile creatures, we are dependent creatures upon God for everything. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. actually verse 3, Paul talks about how he says, I knew a man, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, God knoweth. He's talking about the time, I think, when he got stoned and left for dead, that he left his body and saw heaven. He heard unspeakable things that wasn't meant for man to hear or see. Not yet. Then you drop down here to verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, whether I get a big head or other people make me a rock star. Look at this. Through the abundance of the revelations. Lest I get a big head because I've seen all this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. One of the questions I received on You Asked For It was, if God knew Satan would fall and God knew the shenanigans Satan would pull on earth, why did God even bother to make him? For several reasons. Number one, Satan provides lost people with a clear choice so that they may exercise free will and choose God. Think about it. If you didn't have the ability to say no, your yes is useless, worthless, and hollow. If your ability to say I love you isn't also equaled with your ability to say I hate you, your I love you is worthless. You're just a robot. You're nothing more than a Tickle Me Elmo doll. That's really all you are, just some doll that's your program. So Satan provides, even though I don't like him any more than you do. He hates us. He provides the lost people clear choices. Number two, he keeps us humble and dependent upon God because we get new grace. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians and verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now that doesn't mean Paul went, please take this away. Please take this away. I'm going to hold my breath. Please take this away. No. Three different times he prayed and fasted for an extended period of time, sought God's face, and God said, no. Look, and he said unto me, my grace, that daily supernatural enablement that I give you is sufficient for thee. For my grace is made perfect in weakness. Yes, there are times when God will heal you. There will be times when God uses modern medicine to heal you. There'll be some times when God just kills you and takes you home and now you're perfectly healed. But then there's going to be times when you're just going to rely on grace. And every day you go to God and you get what you need and you go through your day. It makes us dependent upon God. It makes us receive grace we would have never gotten otherwise or experienced otherwise. See, in John 15, we recognize that we are in a living union with Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. We receive everything we need from the vine. We are the branch. The vine doesn't bear fruit on a grapevine. It's the branch off the vine that bears the fruit. God has decided to limit himself in us. He has decided to choose, chosen that we would receive everything we need from him. Everything the vine has, it offers wholly to the branch. Everything God has is yours if you'll receive it. And from that reception, you will bear fruit. But it requires dependence upon Christ. How do I get thankful for this? Number one, admit your weakness. It's a fact, because in John 15, 5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It's also an asset because it forces us to come back to God and be given new grace. So what we are to do, how do we praise God with this ailment? How do we praise God with this chronic illness or this chronic condition? Embrace what God has allowed. See, step two, sometimes God puts us in a dark spot because he's correcting us. And the truth is, if we'll walk with God and be submitted to the Spirit of God, a lot of our problems will go away naturally because we are our own worst enemy. At least I am. Is that how y'all are? Y'all your worst? Well, most of my problems are self-inflicted, right? But then the problems God allows, we should embrace because it brings us new grace. You know, sometimes God, when bad things happen, it's because God is maturing us. He's growing us. You know, you don't learn from the dark times. Nothing grows on the mountaintop. Now, you need those mountaintop experiences, but nothing grows there. What did you learn from success? Nothing. You learn from the struggle. That's what you learn from. You learn from the failures. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after I was afflicted, now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119 verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, God, sometimes bad things happen because God is maturing us and to make us spiritually healthy, to make us to be able to serve and to make us like Christ. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8. Now, this is a familiar portion of Scripture. Maybe you've got it memorized. Maybe it's underlined. Maybe you've got it on a plaque at home. Maybe you've quoted it before. But I want you to see Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. There's a promise in here. Look what it says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, now we're going to read it. So just read the two verses. Here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Great. What did you get out of that? Isn't that how we read our Bibles? What did you get out of that? Well, I think things work for good. Okay, well then let's slow down and let's consume it one bite at a time. Verse 28, and we know, this is a cognizant understanding of the promise of God and the character of God. And we know that all things, that's the good stuff and the bad stuff, the stuff I like and the stuff I don't like, all things work together. That means it produces a result. That means there you're not going through this problem for no reason. Right? See, that's our fear. We're afraid because people try to manipulate us. We're afraid God's trying to do that. God's just playing with us. No. No, 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 no. That is not how it is. Look what it says here. And we know that all things work together. That means they produce a desired result for good. That means whatever you're going through is going to come out to be an advantage to you. To them that love God, to those that have given yourself to God without thought of return, to them who are called to his purpose. That means to be, what is his purpose? You're about to find out. It's to be conformed to the image of Christ. Then it says, for whom he did foreknow. That means he knew in advance you would be his child. He also did predestinate. That means he planned in advance, pre-planning, ordained something ahead of time to be conformed. He planned in advance that we would be conformed, that's molded and shaped, to the image of his son. We would have the likeness and character of Jesus Christ. He's going to take the things that happened to you and will happen to you, and he will harness the power of them to mold you and shape you into the image of Christ. Now listen, if you'll submit to it, if you'll submit to it, I guarantee you God will heal the pain of the memory. He won't take the memory away, but he'll heal the pain of that memory, and he'll harness the power of it for your good. Why do bad things happen? Sometimes it's just the living on this sinful existence that we have. Sometimes it's God correcting us. Sometimes it's God teaching us dependence. Sometimes it's God maturing us to make us usable. Everything we experience. You know, when you can't understand what God's doing, I don't know about you, but I don't always know why, and I don't always know how, but I always know who is doing it. When I can't understand what God's doing, I know I can trust his heart and be thankful. Why do bad things happen and how can I be thankful? Well, God is building patience in us. Have you ever tried to teach your kids patience? Huh? In Psalms 27, 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We love Christmas. Do you all love Christmas? Is time moving faster now that I'm getting older? Is that what's going on? I mean, it's Christmas again. Oh my gosh. Right? Whoo! It's like somebody slow this thing down. Did you know they have to add a leap second every year to the every few years to the calendar because the earth is slowing down? It doesn't seem like it's slowing down for me. Huh? And for you evolutionists, just how fast was this thing spinning a billion years ago? All right? Now, that's another message for another time. But I love Christmas. My family loves Christmas. It is my wife's joy and delight to give my kids things. It is my joy and delight to make them wait for it. I'm always the last one out of bed. I'm always the last one to come out and get coffee. I walk the slowest because I love making them wait. Huh? Patience is not something we like to have developed in us. James 1:4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. The word patience means to bear up and suffer under a load. Why doesn't God do something? Has it ever occurred to you that God is doing something? Just because you can't see it don't mean God ain't working. See, you were not left here in Northern Virginia like a set of car keys that got lost. You're not like that earring you can't find. God knows where you are. God brought you here for a reason. He's going to teach you patience. And the funny thing is, nobody learns patience by reading a book. No one learns anything worthwhile without patience. You can't learn to play the piano or an instrument without patience. You can't learn a second language. You can't learn art if you don't have patience. There's no such thing as instant maturity. There may be instant pudding and instant mashed potatoes, but there is no instant maturity. Well, why do bad things happen? How can I praise God? Well, God may be having you go through it so he can equip you to serve others. Well, I don't want anything bad to happen. I don't want my kids to have anything bad happen to them. Well, then they'll never have anything happen to them. You know, they won't experience anything. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now let's break it down. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That, whenever you see the word that means there's a result here he had in mind. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How are we going to do that? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You might go through something so you can be a blessing to someone else. I've watched my wife minister to literally hundreds of women in the last 22 years, women who've lost babies because we've lost babies. I've watched her comfort other women who have physical illnesses and chronic maladies because she has critical illnesses or maladies that won't go away. You know, we take comfort from God in the bad times so we can comfort other people. Do your kids break things? John, did he ever break things? Well, occasionally, huh? How about it, Abby? Does Miles break? Oh, no, Miles is perfect. Sorry, I wasn't even looking over there. Sorry. My kids break things. They spill things. They're still breaking things and spilling things, the big lugs. And what do we do with broken things? Well, we throw them away. Do you realize God never throws away broken things? Never. He actually blesses and multiplies broken things. Take your Bible, go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 41. Jesus walks down the hillside and he sees a multitude and he has compassion on them. He sees something and he feels something and he desires to do something. So look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 41. He's like, listen, boys, let's feed these people. And they're like, we don't have any bread. We ain't got any food. A little kid walks up with his lunch, offers him 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Go, it's not much, but here's all I got. And in verse 41, it says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Do you want to be blessed? Blessed means happy, full, contented, overflowing. Do you want to be blessed? What if God requires breaking you? You interested still? What if he has to break those sinful habits? What if he has to break your pride and break your comfort? How about now? You still interested in being blessed? He breaks it before he can use it. Do you ever wonder why during testimony time people stand up and they give testimony about what God did in their life during a dark time? It's because they didn't fight God during the dark time. They surrendered to God in the dark time. Do you realize that like an egg isn't usable until it's broken? Do you realize wild horses are nuisance until they're broken? then they can haul things and provide for a family? Will you let God break you to make you blessable? Because you're breakable. But if you won't let God break you, then you're not blessable. Will you let him break your pride, or will you just be a feral Christian? See, why do bad things happen? Well, sometimes it's because we live in a sinful world. Sometimes it's because we're getting corrected. Sometimes it's because God is training us to depend upon him. Sometimes he's training us to serve others. Sometimes it's because he wants to do something miraculous and reveal his glory. In 1 Peter 4, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." All God's children's got problems. That's what the old spiritual song said. Troubles and troubles. We all, God's children's got troubles. We all go through it. We all have it. "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." That's verse 13. "And when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Do you understand when Stephen was being stoned, they looked upon him as having the face of an angel, as his face shone with the peace of God during the time he was being stoned. The three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. It wasn't until they were in the fiery furnace that they met Jesus. And you know, the fiery furnace, all the fiery furnace did to those three Hebrew children was burn away the bonds that held them. The things that were keeping them bound up burned off. When they walked out of that fire, you couldn't even smell the smoke on them. But it wasn't until they got in the fire they met Jesus. You do not get grace for the things you never face. So everything you face, God is offering you new grace. So embrace what God has allowed. Now, I'll admit, I'm the first one to admit, God doesn't always give us an answer. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. You know, God never gave Job an answer. When you read the book of Job, Job went through all of that without ever knowing what was going on in the heavenlies. Never knew. Until after God had restored him and God had given him 10 more children and all kinds of wealth, then God inspired him to write the book and see the things he could not see. But you know, sometimes God isn't going to give you an answer. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8. "For my thoughts," God is speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts." I don't think the way you do. "Neither are your ways my ways." I don't do things. I mean, wouldn't it be great if God did things our way? How many people still be alive, really, if God did things our way, right? "My ways aren't your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So never doubt in the dark the promises God gave you in the light. Embrace what God has you facing and be thankful by faith. Remember, the definition of joy is a cheerful, calm delight that we take in God, knowing that God is fulfilling his will in our life. But wanting our will instead of his is going to rob us of joy and make us unthankful. "Joy is the spontaneous enthusiasm of my spirit when my soul is in fellowship with God." And when I'm not in fellowship with God, I don't have joy. We can remember, we can rejoice, and we can calmly delight in our circumstances because we know he's at work. We must understand God has a reason for your adversity. He'll wound the outer man, this flesh, this pride, the old man, so that the inner man, the new nature you received at salvation, can shine through and grow. See, one of the great things about God is he didn't have to save us. And we can be thankful that God gave Christ for us. See, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. It's his signature way of showing us he loves us. He gives us. He gave us Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't have to do that. He would have been right and righteous to condemn us, but he chose not to. It's because he loved us he did this. And he didn't wait for us to love him back. He went ahead and did it anyway. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took care of this long before you and I came along. He loves us. He didn't have to do that. So we can praise God that he loves us. We can praise God that Christ died for us. We can praise God that salvation is offered to us. How long has it been since you thought about the night you were saved or the day you were saved? At some of our fellowships throughout the year, typically the last Wednesday night of the month, we'll sing a little song. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It's about the day we got saved. And some people will stand and sing, it was on a Monday. I received Christ as my Savior. And then we'll sing, it was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday. And it's about the day you got saved. And most people will stand on Thursday night or on Thursday or Saturday, because that's when Baptists go soul winning a lot. But the truth is, do you remember where you were when you got saved? Do you remember when it happened? Do you remember how it happened? That moment in time when you realized you were a sinner and you couldn't get to heaven by being good, that you turned from your sin unto God. That's what repentance means. You have turned from your sin to God and called upon him, Romans 10:9-10. You called upon him, admitting you're a sinner, admitting Christ as Lord, asking him to save you. Where were you when that happened? You ought to thank God for that. You also ought to thank God for the person who brought you the gospel. That person wasn't perfect. His name's Dr. Bill Mitchell. He's not perfect, but he brought me the gospel. He brought it to my kitchen table, and I got saved. And I will forever be grateful. And I can praise God. I can praise God. Do you know you can be thankful heaven's waiting? You know, I don't like to travel very much. I really don't. But I love it when I can get on the computer and I can check in, you know, lickety-split, clickety-clack, boom, you are checked in. Here is your boarding pass. Put that in your iWallet and your Apple phone. Boom, we're done. And when it doesn't work, I get really frustrated. You know, do you get really frustrated? Huh? You get angry? You're like, It's just a simple check-in. Do you realize your reservations have been confirmed in heaven? Boarding pass was printed. It's on a roll up in heaven with your name on it. And heaven has been notified of your future arrival. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can praise God. This is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Heaven has been notified of your arrival. And one day, Jesus Christ will come and escort you. Isn't that awesome? Well, why do bad things happen? Sometimes it's because we're just living in a sinful world, and it happens. People get sick. People die. That's the reason. Sometimes it's correction. We've inflicted it upon ourselves with our own will. Sometimes it's God wanting us to depend upon him. Sometimes it's God training us so we can be usable. But to be usable, he's got to break us to make us blessable. The fact that he's doing anything at all ought to be praiseworthy to us, because we don't deserve any of it. But yet everything he has is ours to receive. Because without him, we can do nothing. And sometimes I just get sick and tired of trying to do it on my own. And that's why adversity comes. Because I just try to do this Christian life by myself. You know I can't work my way to heaven. I've already got that done. But sometimes, as a foolish child, I try to live it without him and in the power of my own flesh. And that's when God lets me kind of run to the end of my rope until I realize I can't do it without him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? What is it you're trusting in? If you're trusting in your baptism or your first Holy Communion, your trust is in the wrong thing. It's Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed upon Calvary. That's what pays the price. If you ever called upon Him and admitted that you believe and that you're a sinner and asked Him to forgive you because you believe, have you ever done that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Being good's not enough. Christian, do you want to be blessed? To be blessed, you got to be blessable. But to be blessable, you got to let Him break you. Our Father and our God, we love You, and You are worthy of all praise. For without You, we can do nothing. Because of You, all things are possible. And today, God, we praise You because of who You are. We praise You, oh God, not just for the things You've done and will do, but because You are You. And we believe. And today we ask that You'd receive our praise and our thanks, for You're worthy. And Father, we ask that You would continue to correct us when we stray. God, that You would continue to break us and to mold us into the image of Christ, that we would be usable and blessable. God, that You would just fulfill Your promises, for we know You're going to. Help us as we develop patience, as we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that it's true, always true. Thank You, oh God. If there's one among us who's lost, God, may they call upon You today and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open today. Won't you come? Won't you come and present yourself and say, I'm here. I want to be blessed. Break me, oh God. Bless me. Teach me. Grow me. Glorify Yourself in me. That's a good prayer. Glorify Yourself. Glorify Yourself.
Do You thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today,
how about you?
There's no reason.
Maybe you've got a health issue or a financial issue or a relational issue. Come, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. The Bible says, whatever we bind on earth, we bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we loosed in heaven. Where two or more are together in My name. There's agreement there. Come, we'll seek the Lord together, you and I. Let's pray.
From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
The beauty of the breaking is the breakthrough and the blessing to come. The fear is just in our flesh. The fear is our pride and our comfort. But by faith, because of God's promise and His character, we know it'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it. Let that be your prayer this week. Glorify Yourself, God. Glorify Yourself.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Our Father and our God, we love You. And today, Father, as we go from this place, we ask God that You would remind us of Your love, and all the things that we have to be thankful for. Then, Father, that You would glorify Yourself in such a way that everyone would see You and not us. And Father, we know because of your promise and because of your character, it'll be worth it all. So Father, by faith, strengthen us today, encourage us today, give us the praise on our lips to tell others of what you've already done, that they too will come to know you as Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. All right.